This is Update on Manx Radio. Faster Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. Update for Thursday, the 3rd of December 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. Background to the news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel, updates and the newsmakers in person. First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mike, Lewis Foster.
Faster Mike. The Isle of Man will receive 130,000 coronavirus vaccines over the next 10 months. The logistics behind the rollout of the jab was shared by the interim CEO of the DHSC, Catherine Magson. Medical professionals are set to administer the first jabs, while more healthcare volunteers will be required further down the line. Meanwhile, there will be no change to the island's border policy this side of Christmas. Health Minister David Ashford said the risk of adding pressure to the island's healthcare system was too great for a move from level 4 to level 3A. This would have allowed family and friends from off-island to come across for the holidays. And police are searching for suspects thought to have caused damage at the TT timekeeper's hut at the grandstand. Further damage was caused to the door of the hut when a police cone was set on fire. Across the water, police say 4 people have been killed in a blast at a water treatment site near Bristol. Workers at the plant in Avonmouth were on top of their chemical tank when it exploded this morning. And the UK's passed 60,000 COVID-19 deaths after a further 414 people died with the virus. It's the first country in Europe to hit that figure. And the Premier League has agreed a bailout deal to help football league clubs. £200 million will be available in loans to Championship teams, while £50 million grants will be split between League One and League Two sides. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Enter the Man Benham Advent Calendar Draw. Just visit us on Facebook and answer the question. Man Benham, here for you this Christmas. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gurumayed, thank you, Lewis. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea Weather says strong winds and a risk of gales out at sea. On the Isle of Man, there's a yellow weather warning, a be aware warning for ice and sleet and wet snow. There is sleet and wet snow on the mountain. The matrix signs are showing the message of sleet on the mountain. Northerly wind will pick up after dark. Showers will clear overnight and will be down to 4 degrees, so there's a risk of some frost tomorrow morning. For Friday, tomorrow, Jahenya, cloudy with intermittent showers, which may be wintry over higher ground first thing in a strong to gale force northerly. Up to 6 degrees tomorrow, but it won't feel much like that in the wind. Overnight minimum 5 into Saturday. Jasan, dry with sunny intervals, a fresh to strong north-northeasterly decreasing later. Top temperatures 8 Celsius. Tides on the way out. Low water 28 minutes past 7 tonight. High tides at 21 minutes past 1 a.m. Low water 27 minutes past 7 tomorrow morning. Sunrise 19 minutes past 8. And high water Friday afternoon 23 minutes past 1. By the way, good news is the Ben McCree got in early. She's now in harbour in Douglas.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit us at Snugborough to see our range of picture frame glass, mirrors and tabletop glass.
Rolling out the coronavirus vaccine program across the Isle of Man is a major logistical challenge, according to the CEO of the Department of Health and Social Care, Catherine Magson. She was speaking at this afternoon's COVID-19 media conference.
Now, the logistics itself is actually a major logistical challenge. It's more than who, where and when, and those are the easy questions to answer. The biggest challenge for us is actually how we store it, transport it and prepare it. And people will have heard that the vaccines have to be stored at minus 70 degrees, then thawed. They then have to be made up into separate vials and then stored at normal fridge temperature. It's not what we call a normal draw and deliver jab. There are precise steps that must be taken correctly. It's a very delicate vaccine, and there are a restricted number of times that the vaccine can be taken in and out of ambient temperatures. It's also a two-dose, where the second jab must be given 21 days after the first. And then this in itself requires careful management of stocks and careful booking processes. So we'll be asking the public to be considerate of the limited flexibility we will have in booking and to understand the enormity of the challenges we face. These challenges have and are actually still being understood day by day. as more and more information is released. To give you an example, only yesterday we had confirmation that a tray of vaccines, which is how we store and deliver, receive the delivery, can only be defrosted as one tray, which means the minimum number of vaccines for administration at one point in one time is now 975, effectively the number that are in a tray. We have a delivery schedule from the UK spread over the next 10 months with a total number of vaccines confirmed of 130,000, all other than the Pfizer vaccination subject to MHRA approval. But in some cases, we have limited or no information. Our first delivery will be in line with this schedule. That will be the first delivery of the 975 vaccines and one tray. Vaccines will be available to deliver beyond that from the UK on a 24-hour rolling basis, and we will manage that delivery in line with our rollout programme.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
It seems Castle Rushen High School's swimming pool, the public swimming pool there, is running out of time and it's causing a splash. Soon unfit for purpose. The swimming pool in Castletown, our local Democracy reporter Chris Cave.
All of the local authorities in the south of the island are being asked to produce a plan to secure a replacement public swimming pool in the area. The current one, located in the grounds of Castle Rushen High School, is approaching the end of its life, and despite the Department of Education, Sport and Culture hoping to begin work on a new high school in Castletown in 2024, there has been nothing mentioned about a replacement pool. Commissioners in the town are now considering how to ensure the facility isn't lost. Jeremy Ludford-Brooks, who's a member of the board, says no provision has been made within government's budget to provide for a replacement Southern Authority's community swimming pool. He's hoping to meet with neighbouring commissioners in the first quarter of next year to determine a joined-up approach. Mr Ludford-Brooks wants the funding to coincide with the building of the new school, which is going on the existing Castle Rushen site. He's put down a motion to go before Castletown commissioners on Monday. This comes following comments from the chairman, David Parnell, who confirmed he was part of plans to build a commercial pool at the nearby King William's College. Earlier this month, Mr Parnell spoke to me about the proposals, which would be part of a multi-million pound sports complex, which was initially suggested 12 months ago, but's been stalled due to coronavirus.
It's very much alive. Clearly, the plans went in November last year, and then COVID stopped the whole thing. We've been having very useful dialogue with planning about all sorts of things, and it's all been good.
The Southern Swimming Pool Board has previously objected to those plans, raising concerns that there's insufficient demand for two swimming pools in the area.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree left Heysham at a minute to two this afternoon. She came into Douglas Harbour about a quarter of an hour ago, currently discharging freight. If you want to see it live, go to the Manx Radio community pages, click on webcams, and you'll see all the action. She'll be leaving this evening at 7.45, heading for Heysham in the wind and the rain. She'll be arriving there at about 11:30, and then heading back to the Isle of Man at 2:15 tomorrow morning.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Good evening, it's 21 minutes before 6. This is Update on Manx Radio from Douglas in the Isle of Man. Ballacameen High School is set to lose 6 members of staff when the term ends in 2 weeks' time. And those departing say poor behaviour in the classroom is just one of the reasons. The man in line was at Ballacameen today, and these students gave their views on the behaviour of their peers and the current methods of discipline.
In the lower school, you have this different, like, kind of awkward age where they're growing up and they're just hitting puberty and stuff like that, where they want to act cool in front of their friends and act out against teachers to seem cool, but it's just negatively affecting people.
20, 30, 40 years ago, teachers used to be able to administer corporal punishment. If a pupil misbehaved, they would get a clip round the ear. Do you think that was a better way of sorting out classroom discipline?
No, I don't think that hitting.
Now, a lot of people would disagree with you. A lot of people would say that a clip round the ear would help people who misbehave in class.
Yeah, I understand that some people might think that, but I personally believe that hitting people isn't the right way to go, because it just it doesn't really set the message in very well, that what is right and what is wrong.
I think hitting anybody is assault, and it's not a law unless it's a law that applies to everybody. So a law isn't a law if it only protects people that are over 18. So you can assault people, these people, right? I think as a society that we ever accepted that this group of people is allowed to be assaulted and attacked, that we ever accepted that, I think, is very disturbing.
The idea that the only way to enforce rules is through, you know, hitting someone through violence is just, it's not true. By that logic, none of us would follow rules.
When we heard about teachers leaving Ballacameen because they didn't like the level of discipline within the place, they didn't like the unruliness or the way they were treated, and they were leaving their jobs.
Yeah.
People raise their eyebrows, Sam.
I think that is more a sign of the failing of educational punishment as opposed to violent punishment. And I don't think any of those teachers who left would suggest there should be a return to that level.
The cane.
But, yeah. I don't think any of them left and thought, oh, if I ever see those kids again, I tell you what, I'm going to get them.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing.
Lisbon plans to turn thousands of tourist flats into affordable housing. Now countless Airbnb properties are lying vacant in Lisbon. Due to travel restrictions, landlords can apply to rent their apartments risk-free to the municipality for a minimum of 5 years. In return, the city guarantees a steady income of up to €1,000 a month by finding tenants through its affordable housing programme. Cities across Europe are seizing the moment to alleviate housing problems. Venice is housing university students in tourist flats, and Barcelona has forced landlords to sell vacant properties back to the city. Singapore has become the first country in the world to approve the sale of lab-grown meat. The city-state has approved US startup Eat Just to sell its chicken nuggets grown from animal muscle cells in the city-state. The global alternative meat industry is set to become worth $140 billion by 2029, according to Barclays, with growing concern over meat's environmental impact and health effects. Singapore currently imports over 90% of its food and has been heavily investing in agri-tech to shore up its food security.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks were mixed as global markets paused for breath. The dollar fell as signs of progress towards US fiscal stimulus and optimism about COVID-19 vaccines kept investors upbeat. Oil fell, gold firmed, and in corporate news, Flutter Entertainment rallied after Paddy Power Betfair owner said it had agreed to buy the entire 37.2% interest in the US gaming company FanDuel. Sainsbury's was firmer after becoming the latest supermarket to bow to pressure and repay more than £400 million in business rates received from the UK government to help cope with the pandemic. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up 0.4% at 6,490. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.4% at 13,261. In New York City, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.5% at 30,060. The Tech Stocks Index, the NASDAQ, up 0.5% at 12,407. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.25% at 3,678. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US 34.9, €1 11, and 20 South African rand and 45.5. And in commodities, gold flat at $1,830 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 1.2% at $48.50.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
It'll be possible to store the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus jab when it's made available in the Isle of Man, shipped in special containers, which will keep it cold enough for 10 days. The containers will also be able to be topped up with dry ice, which will keep it cold enough for 30 days. Once thawed, it can be kept safely in the fridge for 5 days. The professor of molecular medicine at Anglia University is Stephen Bustin.
Many vaccines, you get 2 doses. You get a dose first and then a second dose. So this is a standard procedure for many vaccines. And this is what this one will be like. So you get a dose today, you come back in 3 weeks' time, and a week after that, you are fully protected. So it takes about a month for protection to kick in. There is one other vaccine which is being produced by Johnson & Johnson, and that is apparently a one-dose vaccine. There's nothing particularly bad or good about either. It makes it logistically slightly more difficult, obviously, to administer because you have to go twice. But even if you missed your second dose, you have some protection. Obviously, you do not want to miss your second dose.
And you did touch on sort of side effects there, headaches, a sore arm and that kind of thing. Now, we're talking 5 to 8% of people may not be protected. So what kind of side effects might they experience? You mentioned that none of them have been that major.
Well, there's a difference in not being protected and having side effects. I think that some people just do not mount an immune response, regardless of what the vaccine is. So I think that is one possible problem. But the 95% figure you mentioned, to be absolutely clear, was obtained under ideal conditions in a clinical trial. It is possible that in real life, it'll be a little bit lower than that. It could be 90%. But if you bear in mind that flu vaccine is somewhere between 40 and 60%, then that is a very good figure. Also bear in mind that essentially whilst we get protection from a vaccine, the purpose of the vaccine is to protect our community, not just ourselves. So if 90%, if 80% of people are protected, then herd immunity will suggest that the whole community will be protected. And that's what we want after all.
Manx Radio Sport.
Mastermind Tim Glover.
A local hockey player has been snapped up for the England under-16s trials. 15-year-old Sienna Dunn is set to go across for the first round of trials next week. It's not the first time Dunn has been on the radar, as the athlete has been on the England hockey player pathway for the past 3 years. Dunn, who also plays for Valkyries and the Isle of Man under-18 squad, says she's excited for the challenge ahead.
So I'm going away next week and the trials are the next Saturday and the Saturday after.
Okay.
So I'll be going away for that whole week. And hopefully after the trial, the next stage is another trial after that. So hopefully I can get through to that. But if I don't get through, it's just the whole experience of this has just been amazing at the same time.
Further afield, and Premier League clubs have approved a £250 million bailout deal for the English Football League. Most of that will be interest-free loans available to Championship clubs. The other £50 million will be a grant and split between teams in League One and League Two. And Johnny Bairstow looks set to return to the England Test cricket squad for January's proposed tour of Sri Lanka. The wicketkeeper batsman has withdrawn from playing in Australia's Big Bash League. Bairstow hasn't played a five-day game for his country since December last year.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
12 minutes before 6, one departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way. The 10 to 5 departure to Liverpool left 7 minutes late. It's back this evening at 20 to 7. The Matrix signs on the mountain are showing sleet and snow, so do take care. 24-hour light on Quarterbridge Road in Douglas for drainage and curbing work. That should finish a couple of weeks tomorrow. Also, 24-hour lights for railway work, King of Overwood Road in Oncombe. Westlands is closed for demolition, refurb and extension works, and station parking Colby is closed for curb replacement and resurfacing. Remember, a week next Monday, Finch Road in Douglas should be reversed back to its normal one-way system. That's if the access to the promenade from Church Road Marina goes ahead. At the moment, you can turn left into Church Road Marina, northbound on Douglas Promenade. You just can't go the other way.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
The bad weather this evening means changes have been made to a special service in Ramsey. The Ellen Vannin tragedy will now be remembered in the Catholic Church on South Promenade at 6:30 this evening rather than on West Quay as initially planned. Chris Cave looks ahead.
In the early hours of the 3rd of December 1909, the SS Ellen Vannin set sail from Ramsey on what was thought to be a routine journey to Liverpool. 14 passengers and 21 crew were aboard the vessel, all of whom would go on to perish in what was and still remains one of the worst shipping tragedies in Manx history. Hurricane force winds saw the smallest and slowest of the Isle of Man steam packet fleet founder, with all 35 on board, along with 60 tons of cargo washed up in the Mersey after the steamer was overwhelmed by a freak wave. In a documentary on Manx Radio, which commemorated the centenary of the event, Captain Steve Carter of the Laxey Towing Company said the deteriorating conditions came as a huge shock.
The weather was just so much worse than anybody anticipated. In fact, nobody would hardly anticipate the weather being as bad as it was.
Despite the fact it's been more than 100 years since the disaster, a memorial takes place each year to mark an event which had devastating consequences.
It's deeply felt by the island and in Ramsey in particular, where the boat sailed from. So we commemorate that, the loss of the Ellen Van, in every year on the date. And the service will be held by Reverend Brian O'Mahony, and we're having a visit from the Manx bard, Zoe Cannell, who'll be reading a poem that she's written specially for the event. I believe she has some personal connections with the steam packet going back in history as well, so that'll be quite special.
That was Chairman of Ramsey Town Commissioners Andy Cowie, who says he's proud to see the Ellen Vannin story not lost on the younger generations.
There's always a good turnout in what sometimes is quite inclement weather, and you can see that the number of young people that turn up to commemorate the loss is quite amazing, really.
Wreaths will be laid during the 15-minute service, and the names of all those who died shall be read out, as the island remembers a poignant chapter of its history.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
And staying in Ramsey, a Ramsey head teacher says a clear-cut rollout plan for a vaccine would relieve the pressure on island's recruitment crisis in education, as many teachers are looking to leave. Annette Baker of RGS says she's allowed 8 members of staff to go home to the UK over the Christmas break to see family. And she explained to Lewis Foster how the school will manage in the first week of term whilst those returning self-isolate.
It's actually quite useful for us because we're going to use this as an opportunity to try out our lockdown protocols. So they will be actually working from home, and we think in some of the time we're going to ask them to actually follow the timetable that we'd expect them to do if we ever had to go into lockdown again. At the moment, we're able to cover them not being in school through normal staff cover procedures and supply teachers that we've been able to grab, because that's always difficult.
Was there a particular reason why you allowed so many teachers to go off over the Christmas period?
Quite frankly, I don't think it's acceptable for people to be kept apart indefinitely, and that's what it was shaping up to be honest, unless we made some kind of provision for them to get to see their families at Christmas.
We've heard in the last sort of month or so about this recruitment crisis in education. How much has this situation exacerbated that these measures you're taking over Christmas to allow staff home and put and provide the cover, is that welcome relief? How far does that actually stretch?
I think it is welcome relief, and I think the staff who really need to go, I mean, I've got a maximum of 8 who want to go off island this Christmas. Amongst those staff are people who are, quite frankly, having a wobble about being here. I sincerely hope that the vaccine will come to all of our rescue, and I'm just hoping that the Isle of Man government's got a real clear strategic plan for rolling out that vaccine in tandem with relaxing the border restrictions. The continuing mental health toll on people who can't get to see their families across and whose families can't visit here. I would put a plea in for the government to share its plan with us, because sharing the plan would at least then led us into the government's thinking as to how it's managing this, and would give us reassurance that things are in hand. If we have to wait a little bit more for a relaxation of border restrictions ultimately, then that's easier to take and more palatable, really, if you know that there's a plan for moving forward.
The Environment Minister hopes a former quarry at South Barule will provide opportunities for business. The area is 13 hectares and sits close to the plantation home to Ape Man and Laser Mayhem. 40 glamping pods and a visitor centre are also set to be developed at South Barule Plantation. The Environment Minister is Geoffrey Boot.
The idea of a PIN process is really to see what sort of interest there is in public. From the public, or not the public, but from potential business users or individuals for the site. I wouldn't like to pin anything on it at the moment. It's an opportunity, and I'm looking forward, the department's looking forward to seeing what comes out of the process. Certainly a site of that size will, I'm sure, encourage some people to come forward with different use schemes.
13 hectares, that's quite a large area, and you say these plans would have to be sensitive to the environment. What particular sensitivities are in that area in terms of wildlife?
Well, it's an old quarry site, so it's obviously been used to semi-industrial use for some time, but it has grown over, and it's actually quite a pleasant area. There is some wildlife, and it will require an ecological assessment, and we've already started that process. And I think any proposed use will probably require some form of planning consent. In terms of wildlife, I mean, our study has revealed what is there. I think that there is potential for some leisure activity to take place around that without too much disturbance, bearing in mind it is a former quarry, so there is quite a lot of disturbed area on the site itself.
You mentioned it's obviously a former quarry, so it is open space. Would anything need to be cut back, potential habitats perhaps?
Well, I'm not sure that there needs any habitat to be cut back. There are a lot of paths running through it and open areas already available. Obviously, any type of development normally requires some formalisation of layout or added building content or whatever. We will look at proposals as they come forward. Certainly anything that does come forward will have to be sympathetic to the environment and nature that's already there on site.
That's it for Update Tonight, brought to you by the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster and producer Alex Watt. I'm Andy Winton. Update is back Friday evening at 5:30. You can catch it as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker and Spotify at manxradio.com.